Good morning. My name is Catherine. It's such an honor to be here today. Thank you for inviting me. This is Joe. Much of the work I do has to do with dealing with the ancestors and those who came before us. And so as I do the meditation, I'm going to call in the ancestors. They're here, but sometimes we forget. If anyone has any issues around family, just to set it aside just for this moment, so that you can take in the blessings of this meditation. This is Spirit Heart. And as you listen to the resonance of the bowl, allowing yourself to either close your eyes or keep your eyes open, as you begin to feel into the seat in which you are seated, supporting you without question. And as you do this, I invite you to begin noticing your breath, allowing the breath to go deep into your belly and noticing perhaps for the first time today that you're actually breathing. And as you breathe in and as you breathe out, noticing if there are any thoughts or things that may be going on inside your mind, and allow those thoughts or things to go by the wayside so that you may come back into your breath. Breathing in and breathing out. And as you do this, I invite you to begin noticing your body and if there's any places in you that are tight or tense. And to allow that tightness or tension to be released with your next breath out. And as you do this, imagine that the breath that is coming in and out of your mouth is dropping down into the area of your heart, that beautiful center point, the seat of our wisdom, the seat of our potential, the seat of our connection. And to breathe in and feel genuine gratitude, the gratefulness that you have yet one more breath. And to breathe in and feel genuine appreciation for yourself for coming into this space, into this sacred space. And to breathe in and feel genuine love for yourself and for those who are fortunate enough to be in your life. And to breathe in and feel genuine compassion for yourself, regardless of any situation or circumstance you may find yourself in, trusting and knowing that others have similar situations and circumstances. So as you breathe in gratitude, as you breathe in love, as you breathe in appreciation, and as you breathe in compassion, imagining that those go into every cell, every organ, every part of precious you, as it radiates out to the left of you, to the person sitting next to you, as it radiates to the right of you, to the person sitting next to you, as it radiates in front of you, behind you, high up into the heavens and deep into Mother. That beautiful electromagnetic field that we walk around in, bouncing up against each other as we come into contact. And as you do this, I invite you to imagine standing behind you on your right as your father, and standing behind you on your left as your mother. Regardless of any story, regardless of anything that may have happened, allowing their energetic signature to be behind you, And imagine standing behind your father, your paternal grandparents, grandfather to the right, grandmother to the left. And standing behind your mother, your maternal grandparents, grandfather to the right, grandmother to the left. Regardless of whether or not you met them, regardless of whether or not they're still here. And imagine standing behind your grandparents, your great-grandparents, grandfathers to the right, grandmothers to the left. And on down the line of all those who came before you, trusting and knowing that there is love within this energetic signature. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here today. And so as you breathe in love, as you breathe in faith, as you breathe in strength, as you breathe in wisdom, as you breathe in power, as you breathe in imagination, as you breathe in understanding, as you breathe in will, as you breathe in zeal, as you breathe in elimination, as you breathe in life, and as you breathe in order, allowing it to come into your back, into your heart. And as you breathe that in and release the breath out, imagining that you're turning and bowing deeply to all those who came before you. Not in subordination to, rather in honoring of the greatest gift you ever received, which is the gift of life. And as you come up from your bow, thanking them for being with you this moment, this hour, this time, and turning and bowing to each and every person who is here in the room. For I am another you, and you are another me. We have the same breath, the same heartbeat, the same mind. All our relations. And as you breathe this in and as you breathe this out, becoming aware of your feet on the floor, your body sitting, and as you begin to move slowly and softly, bringing your gaze back into this room, feeling grounded, centered, aware, and present. So good morning. It's always interesting whenever I prepare for a talk. I get it all written down and I do massive amounts of research on it. So I have endless tablets of information. And then when I come and actually speak, my dreams ahead of time are formulating what I'm going to say. And then I come in contact with people and hear messages of the morning. Or on the way to where we're going, I see things and I notice things that are in perfect alignment with what it is I'm going to talk about. And then I end up with one scribbled piece of paper with a few little highlights. So today I'm going to be exploring with you creating that, being able to allow the sensitive compassion through the 12 powers. And I've been a unity board member for several years, and Unity has been part of my own practice. And it wasn't until about 2015 that I really started getting deeply into the 12 powers when I had the diagnosis of melanoma. And it was a wake-up call for me, because I am trained in multiple disciplines. I'm really smart. I can talk up a storm. Sometimes it can be I'm a walking billboard. Ask me something and I'll give you the answer to it. And there was sometimes a disconnect between what my words were saying and what the actions were. Like my body was 40 blocks away from my head, and I could say all the right things, but meanwhile my body had the trauma that had not been resolved. And my body was showing me the way life was, and I would try to bypass it with my mind. And so the humbling experience of becoming more familiar with the 12 powers to me was a beautiful way to, one, begin to take full responsibility for where I was in my life, and to also be accountable for everything that I had done, everything I had said, everything I had experienced, people that I had hurt, people who had hurt me. And my research in trauma, which is an area that both Joe and I work in, is a reminder that we often will react, we will reenact our trauma over and over and over and over again in order to have resolution or in order to complete the process. And that many times means that we bypass the wisdom of our body. We bypass the beautiful gifts that we have inside of us. And I never realized that the 12 powers were actually after each of the apostles, as many of you probably know in here. So each apostle carried the trait, for instance, of strength or of wisdom, discernment, of power. And so the teachings of Jesus was not to look outside oneself, but to look within. And I look at how much is going on in the world right now with the polarization that's happening, with the anger, with the rage, with the shadow that is showing itself in full force. How does one not collapse with what's going on in the outside world? How does one remember that some have said it's all an illusion, yet it can hurt when somebody says something to us? It can hurt when we lose a job. That seems very real. So focusing on the 12 powers has enabled myself and perhaps many of you in the room to really begin becoming aware of what amazing individuals we are. Yet we're not individual, because we're all interconnected. There's a term called quantum entanglements, where we're bumping up against each other. And when Joe and I leave today, there'll be a part of us that will be with you and you'll be with us. So how do we move from the place of a culture that has accelerated itself in the isolation or the autonomy or the separateness? How, through the practice of what's happening now globally and within the United States, how do we deepen our practice to remember who we are, to remember all those parts of us that have been lost, to remember that we are power, we are strength, and that magnificent imagination that children always play around in. And somehow as we get older, the imagination goes by the wayside. How do we reactivate and activate the 12 powers so that we can sense in and trust everything that goes on in our life is perfect? There's a saying that says, life is too perfect to be fair. And we can laugh about it. I mean, it's always interesting coming in churches and being in a place where we're of like-mindedness for the most part, right? And here we get inspired and then we step out in the world. And sometimes what we learned here goes by the wayside. So dear friend Rabbi Ted and I have deep conversations about how How do we stay in the moment of inspiration? How do we stay in the moment to know our connectedness? How do we stay in the moment that everything that happens is not to punish us? I know being raised Catholic, I always looked outside myself. I had early loss. A sister died when I was 7 and she was 4. And subsequently, there was a lot of loss afterwards. So it felt like God out there was punishing. What have I done wrong? As a little one who's born with the innocence, and all of us have our innocence. How do we remember that life may not always go the way we want it, and it's always in its perfection? We always get exactly what we need, as the Rolling Stones, I think, said. You may not like it, but you get exactly what you need. And even with dealing with the melanoma, it was a beautiful time to gather community, to do some deep work around forgiveness for myself, for my family. Because my belief is that within me is my mom, my dad, my ancestors, my children, my lovers, my friends, my enemies. I'm all of that. And being trained as a counselor, many times people go to counseling for psychological reasons, whereas the work of the 12 powers and even the work of honoring ourselves is systemic in that it gets passed on from generation to generation. So I am a walking image of all those who came before me. Epigenetics, 16 generations back, we carry the genes of those who came before us. And so moving from the place of isolation, the step forward to be connected to one another and to remember that is truly a journey. There's a saying that history repeats itself unless there's resolution. And we see that many times with our veterans coming home. Remember hearing stories of World War II when the veterans came home and they wanted their benefits and they'd staged an encampment in Washington, D.C., and they were burned out by the active military and didn't get their benefits. And I'm bringing this up in a way to say that when we begin looking at what trauma, what things have happened to us, and we resolve it through being accountable, being responsible, being loving, being kind, then we don't need to keep passing things on from generation to generation. And it's amazing how the ancient ones, the wisdom, is there in the background in ways that most each and every one of us can hear, in that the 12 powers have been around for centuries. Yet sometimes, I know for myself, I'd look outside myself for the answer, not trusting what's inside. Not trusting my wisdom. It's funny the cliches, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Is that true? And now it's like there's so much distraction. At least I notice a lot of distraction where I forget to breathe. I forget to remember that I'm omnipotent, that I'm everything, not in a selfish, egotistical way, that we can move mountains. So stepping away and moving away from the distraction, maybe turning off the TV more and not looking at the news. I tend to look at my cell phone early in the morning at the news. And part of it is, are we still here? Because of the insidious background noise, the 60 to 80,000 thoughts that go through the mind unfiltered often, the repetition, and to take a break and breathe, to take a break and recognize the beauty of who we are. And that life is supposed to be fun, as Abraham Hicks says. It's our birthright to live a life of joy. And love is so beautiful because love is everywhere. And as I said in the meditation, we wouldn't be sitting here if there wasn't love here. And love is not an emotion. Love is an energy that transforms. And when we're not in love, then we're in fear. And when we're in fear, it's like looking through a colander as we look out into life. Ram Dass talked about going into a nursing home and talking there. And one person who watched the news all the time was terrified to go out because of what an awful world it was. And then another resident was asked how they like living there, and they said, it's like being on a cruise ship. I get all my meals. There's rooms that I get to go in and visit. There's people I get to chat with. As I work with people who have had a lot of trauma, it's interesting to how to reach someone when the reality they see is one of fear, and the reality they see is one of pain and suffering. And how do we individually and collectively outstretch our hand to support someone through our powers of recognizing that our touch is healing, that our gaze will go into someone's soul, that our heart-to-heart is 60% more powerful, the electromagnetic field of our heart, than our mind. And when we can dare to be open-hearted, dare to be vulnerable, dare to be courageous, that's the walk that we're being called to do now. For 2 years, I live on Whidbey Island. I worked with the University of Washington doing suicide prevention, because we have the second highest suicide rate in the state of Washington on Whidbey. And for those of you who have been on Whidbey, it's pretty beautiful there. The mountains, the water, the Clyde Theater. So what brings that about? Part of it is people feeling, I work with highly sensitive people, and many of the highly sensitives have been diagnosed with ADHD, ADD, depression, anxiety. And the ones who often feel suicidal and have died by suicide are the ones who are so sensitive that they feel that they're a burden to the world. And through their diagnosis and through the medications that they may be on, there's the numbing of spirit and the numbing of the soul. And I gave up that position because part of what I want to do in this world is to resolve it, because I recognize it's a community issue, it's a universal issue, it's a family, it's a systems issue, and it gets passed on from generation to generation. And how do we honor those who sacrifice themselves through the suicide, sacrifice themselves through dying young? And I know I'm maybe getting off a little bit with the powers, but it comes back into the recognition and reminding and remembering how we light this little light of mine in everyone that we come in contact with. How can we be of service to extend out a hand and a smile to someone who may be suffering? Not to take it away from them, but to be with them compassionately. To just be. That's a big J and a big U and a big S and a big T. To just be. Be in the magnificence. Carolyn Mace said that if we recognize the power of who we were, we would never step out to go out into the world, because we are that magnificent. And I'm reminded that it's not us magnificence, it's what comes into us, our gifts that are given to us. And that if we recognize the power of a negative thought, we would never, ever, ever entertain another negative thought. And again, all these cliches, how do we move through and actually have it come into our cellular memory? I know I do it through music, do it through prayer, recognizing that every thought, everything I say is a prayer. It's like a boomerang. It goes out and it comes right back. The reciprocity, being loving and kind, and it comes back in kind. There's a poem that may be familiar to many of you about how our thoughts are things. And it's always bears, I love reading things over and over again because it reminds me. And this is from Lasso. I hope I pronounced his name wrong. I apologize. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And as I think of those words and I think of the powers and I think about where we are energetically with what's happening in our culture and also worldwide, it's not by accident that we are where we are. The universe isn't random. It's not to punish. It's not. I'm saying that mostly to myself to remind myself that. That's something so much bigger is happening. And a dear friend of mine who's a minister down in Oregon said that when people change the consciousness from the fear base to the love base, when we become the activists, the love activists, when we say no more, when we hold our heads up, we have a strong backbone knowing behind us are all those who came before us. When we open our arms, when we open our hearts, that's when the change happens. And the tipping point is like 4%. And the Hopi said that we're going to be moving from two-hearted to one-hearted, where the tongues in our mouth and the tongues in our shoes are matched, where our words are in resonance and they're in alignment with each other. I saw a beautiful diagram of the 12 powers showing someone running with the activation of the 12 powers. It's beautiful to see the activation of us. So in closing, I would like to read a Cherokee prayer. O Great Spirit, help me to always to speak the truth quietly, to listen with an open mind when others speak, and to remember the peace that may be found in silence. And within the silence, may you be blessed with the activation of your 12 powers, recognizing that with that activation comes responsibility to be of service and to spread your love, knowing that you're an intricate part of this beautiful web. Thank you.